Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the Feast of the Circumcision and name of Jesus is from our gospel reading of Luke. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. To be born under the law is to be subject to the law. In circumcision, one is made to be a child of God, having the covenant quite literally cut into his flesh. And so to be born under the law is to be subject to the commands and demands of the law. All of this Christ fulfilled. He fulfilled the law every step along the way, and this most certainly included circumcision. Jesus was sent by his heavenly Father to fulfill what sinful man could not, so that he might redeem all those who are under the law. The law has to be fulfilled, but it had to be fulfilled outside of us by someone else, by someone greater than us, someone like us in every way, in the flesh, but without sin, so that all righteousness might be fulfilled and be given to us on our behalf. So in our text for today, we see this little baby Jesus, this 8-day-old infant Messiah, beginning his journey of fulfilling the law on our behalf. But to be born under the law not only includes to be brought under the law's demands, but also under the law's curse. Even though Jesus was without sin, including the original sin that plagues all infants from the day of their conception, he still was made to be one of us. And so, he stood in our place to fulfill the impossible, in the flesh, enduring all of the law, curse included, on our behalf. Jesus ate bread by the sweat of his brow, but like the curse of Genesis told Adam, all of his descendants would. And he also was returned to the ground, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, on that Good Friday of his death and burial. To be under the law means that Jesus had to endure the fullness of the law. To be born under the law for us means that Jesus had to taste death. And so he did. In his circumcision, Jesus cut away into humanity in order to stand before the wrath of God in our place. He became Israel reduced down to one, the true Son of God standing in the place of all other sons and daughters, making us true sons and daughters of God, allowing us to receive the adoption that St. Paul talks about in Galatians. But Jesus' circumcision didn't take place for his own benefit. How could it have been? He needed no covenant to be cut with him. The Son is eternally one with the Father. He didn't need to fulfill the law for his own good either. For one who is perfect and holy does not need to fulfill anything. It is already fulfilled. And so this seemingly arbitrary line in our gospel reading for today, this seemingly one throwaway, is more important than what we give it credit for. Circumcision is fulfilled in baptism. St. Paul tells us that baptism is the circumcision of the heart. That is why he so vehemently spoke against Peter at the First Council of Jerusalem. For Peter had fallen in line with a party that believed that one had to undergo circumcision before one could be baptized. But in Christ, that was not true. circumcision, being of the law, had been fulfilled in Christ, or perhaps better said, had found its fulfillment in Christ. The only Son of God, begotten of the Father before all eternity, had made himself Israel, God's Son, on our behalf, and when he became man and underwent the circumcision of the flesh. But like I said already, this was not for his benefit. We have learned before, and we will learn again next week, of the baptism of our Lord. It was there that Jesus entered the waters of the Jordan, perfect and holy and righteous. But when he exited those waters, he emerged soaking wet with the sins of the world. That is the way in which our Lord works. The signs of salvation which God gives to us, in which we receive his grace and mercy and forgiveness, are the very places where Jesus receives the exact opposite. He exchanges his righteousness for our sinfulness. He becomes sin so that we can become holy. It's what the theologians call the great reversal. If this is what took place in Jesus' baptism, his becoming imputed with our sin, then the same thing took place at his circumcision. The very act that joined the people to God cut off Jesus from God. Him being cut off from God is what allowed us to be joined to the Father. His baptism makes baptism. His circumcision makes circumcision. Without his circumcision, circumcision was nothing more than a human act, uselessly dedicating a child to God, and the same is true for baptism. Without Christ's baptism, our baptism means nothing more than the promise of a sinner to remain faithful to God. But this promise is useless, is a useless promise that can never be kept. We shouldn't be so dismissive with the fact that the signs that God institutes for our benefit should have the opposite effect on God in the flesh. After all, his death means our life. If we are okay with the death of God ushering in our eternal life, then we should also be fine with the fact that when he undergoes circumcision, he becomes cut off so that we can be attached. This is the weirdness of the gospel. God saves in ways that seem so backward, so impossible, and yet, how else is he to save? 8 days after Jesus' birth, while the God of the universe is still unable to walk or talk or seemingly fulfill anything of his own accord, Jesus nonetheless begins to fulfill all righteousness. And so Joseph takes a stony flint and approaches his adoptive son. And it's at this point where we might want to take time to ponder what is actually taking place. For circumcision is a grisly thing, especially back then. Joseph had the task to circumcise the Lord of the universe. I can't even imagine what must have been going through his mind as he held this little Christ child with one hand and a knife with another. Seems like he understood what Abraham went through better than anyone else could have ever known. And yet, in this act of circumcision, Jesus was anointed to be the Christ, an anointing that took full effect 30 years later as Jesus walked his way into the Jordan to be covered with our sin. But what does it mean to be anointed as the Christ? It means that Jesus is anointed for death. Even right there, as an 8-day-old baby, Jesus is marked as one who would taste death. And not just death, but the fullness of death, the true death, true separation from the Father. To be the Christ means that he would save his people from their sin. That is why he is named on that day, Jesus. But to save his people from their sins, he must become sin. To save his people from death, he must receive their death. To save his people from the full wrath of an almighty God, he must bear that wrath in its fullness. Jesus receives what we deserve, all so that we may receive what we never could have earned ourselves. At Jesus' circumcision, his fate is sealed. He is the Christ, which means he is now cut off from God, just like we poor, miserable sinners should be, but now aren't. He is placed under the law and now receives the fullness of its curse so that we might never have to. At his circumcision, Jesus sheds his blood for the first time, foreshadowing the greater blood shedding of the cross, where his blood runs freely and does not stop until he is a lifeless and dead sacrifice. In that blood comes our life, blood that he shares with us at this very altar. Jesus is condemned that we might be saved. And that condemnation began 8 days after his birth. But something else amazing happens at Jesus' circumcision. He completes it. It is finished. There is no more circumcision. There is only baptism. And baptism is a far greater thing than circumcision, just as the Lord's Supper is a far greater thing than the Passover. As Christ fulfills these things of the law, he only gives us in return the things of the gospel, so that we might receive from the Father's hand all of the benefits of the crucified Christ. So on this day, in which we remember the circumcision of our Lord, we are also bound to remember our baptism. For Christ was circumcised so that we might be baptized. He was cut off so that we might be grafted on. He was made to be sin so that we might be made to be sinless. And yes, in our baptism we die, but it is not a death that hurts. It is a death that brings us life. It drowns us into the death of Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness for us. And then it raises us anew in his resurrection so that we might never have to taste the fullness of death. Christ's circumcision ends circumcision for us, so that his baptism may begin baptism for us. He was born under the law, cut apart from God, drowned into our sinful flesh, all so that we might be born from above, apart from the curse, and given everlasting life. In the name of Jesus.